Today's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. Even though we have known Christ by the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting the wrongdoings against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the word of our Heavenly Father.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to be continuing our series, Growing Together, Building a Church for the Kingdom. Now, I want to review a little bit of last week for those of you who weren't with us, because obviously it was a long weekend. Some of you were traveling. So last week, we talked about being rooted in prayer and the Word of God. And we talked about how there was a moment in Mark chapter 9 when the disciples were asked by a father to cast out a demon from his son. And they failed. And when they asked Jesus why they weren't able to do it after Jesus had cast out the demon, they said because they were not focused enough on prayer and fasting. This led us down throughout the entire morning. We wound up realizing that in order to be a church that grows, before we grow wide, we have to grow deep. And in order to grow deep, we have to be rooted in prayer and the gospel and making our relationship with Jesus the foundation of our lives. And I challenged everyone at the end of my sermon last week to find a verse that they could make the anchor verse of their week. How many of you actually did that? Can I have a show of hands? Some of you? Gavin, great job, man. How many of you have an anchor verse for your life? A verse that you know that is your favorite verse in the Bible? Show of hands? Okay, a good amount. Cheryl? Mm-hmm. I think we might be on the wrong one. Oh no, we're good. This week, we are going to be talking about going from roots to fruit. Last week we talked about the roots laying the foundation in Christ. And today we're going to talk about living out that new identity that we find in Christ. Thank you, Samuel, for reading, and I will definitely come to you for financial risk assessment. So let's talk a little bit about Paul's situation. Paul is defending his ministry in Corinth. We see this set up in verse 12. The Corinthians are challenging Paul because Paul has been through a lot through his ministry life. After his conversion from Saul to Paul, he has been in jail numerous times. He's a tent maker. He's not doing very well financially. And the people in the church in Corinth are critical of Paul. Because they're saying, if you are an apostle, why is God not blessing you more? And then Paul says that the heart is the foundation of any believer's ministry. And that sets the tone for the upcoming verses. If you're taking notes, Just like last week, I'm going to give you one key phrase I want you to focus on. Before we represent Christ, we need to be remade in Him. Before we represent Christ, we must be remade in Him. See, Paul makes it clear that the heart is the foundation of your ministry. Your heart is the foundation of your ministry. So we are motivated by love and not pride, we see. So when Paul says the term beside yourself, it means you are crazy. And Paul says, I am crazy for God. And that the true ministry motivation for Paul is the love of Christ. Now, a lot of people serve in ministry, but their motivation for serving in ministry is not loving Jesus. Their motivation for serving in ministry is sometimes to get brownie points. We're taught from a young age, if you do something really, really well for a while, then you ask mom or dad for something, they're more likely to say yes. So if you do some really good stuff in church and you ask God for something, He might bless you. Sometimes people serve out of a desire to be seen, out of pride. It's a privilege to come up and sing in front of all these people. It's a privilege, and you get a lot of public recognition. The people who serve in these ways burn out of ministry very fast. See, if you are not serving because you love God, it will show. When I think about someone who loves God, I think about my Sunday school teacher. Her name was Debbie, but I grew up in a very West Indian church, so we called her Miss Debbie. And Miss Debbie was my favorite Sunday school teacher ever. Miss Debbie brought snacks. And when I didn't want to color, Miss Debbie had Legos. And Miss Debbie was my Sunday school teacher when I was 3. Miss Debbie is still the Sunday school teacher. So I asked Miss Debbie, when I went back to see her at Christmas Eve service, I said, Miss Debbie, how did you get into serving in children's ministry? And she said, I didn't want to serve in children's ministry. I wanted to be on the worship team. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. You're the best children's minister we've ever had. And you know what she said that changed my whole perspective? She said the church needed someone to teach Sunday school. And she thought, okay, I can do that for a few weeks. And a few weeks turned into over 40 years of service. The thing is, she didn't do what she wanted. She did what the church needed. That is a faithful servant. She was motivated by her love for Christ. She was not motivated by anything else. Because she told me when she first started teaching for the first 2 years, she didn't even like children that much. But over time, God equipped her and gave her the skills. And now Miss Debbie, well into her 70s, is still getting on the floor, sitting and teaching children at Bethany Baptist Church about Jesus. See, living for Jesus, it makes you better. I asked Miss Debbie, and she told me that her life is significantly better when she serves God. You can't live for two things. It's very clear. It says in Scripture, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve both God and money. But replace money with anything else. You can't live for your career. You can't live for your partner. You can't live for the Maple Leafs. You can't live for whatever it is that you make an idol. But if you live for Christ, it will make you better. If you live for God, it'll make you a better parent. If you live for God, it'll make you a better partner. If you live for God, it will make you a better math student. If you live for God, it will make you a better professor. If you live for God, it will make you a better consultant. If you live for God, it will make you a better plumber, a better construction worker, a better executive director. Whatever you do, it will be better. Jesus will improve your life. Paul makes it very clear that we are to serve others as Christ serves us. You might have heard this before, similarly in Ephesians, where it tells husbands that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. I think it's a powerful reminder that when you come to Jesus, when you stand at the foot of the cross, that you are reborn, that your whole life is changed. Because of Jesus, someone who doesn't like kids can be an amazing Sunday school teacher. Because of Jesus, this crazy world that we live in has hope. Because of Jesus, it gives us a new light, a new way of seeing. See, suddenly when you're living for Jesus, all that earthly stuff that you had value in, your car, your career, your house, your clothes, it loses the priority. Still, it plays a role. We do want to have a spot to live, but it's not the thing that we're worshiping. It's not the thing that we're coveting. Last week, I was thinking about how earthly things really do lose their priority. When church finished, I don't eat before I preach because I get a little nervous sometimes. I never want to throw up on anyone in the first few pews. Notice they're kind of empty, and most of you went back there. There was a lady at the Tim Hortons just down the street here at Weston Road. And she didn't speak any English, but she was asking for money or food. And I'm in the car, and I'm trying to tell her, like, do you want something to eat? But I'm not doing very well because I only speak English. So I'm like mouthing the sandwich motion and like giving a thumbs up. And I get her some food. And the people near me said, you don't know if she's actually hungry. It doesn't matter. We need to show people compassion. We don't write people off because of the way they look. I want to challenge those preconceived notions you have, that we all have. It's a cultural, earthly, broken world thing that when we see someone, we judge them based on how they talk, based on how they look, based on all of these factors. Church family, Jesus never wrote off a single person. So when you see someone in need, care for them. See, knowing Christ in spirit is powerful. I make this point, knowing Christ in spirit is better than knowing him in the flesh for one reason. Because when Jesus departed, do you know what gift he gave us? Anyone shout it out? The Holy Spirit. And he said, you will do the work of the ministry. You are a new creation. And we need to let that show. I was helping a former student of mine who's getting baptized in 2 weeks. I'm really proud of him. And at the church he's attending, you write your testimony out and you share it with people. Now, Wesley did a really great job. He's a very smart young man. And his testimony starts off with, my name is Wesley. I am a U of T engineering student. I am a basketball player. I am a Gulf Town employee. I am the son of Siobhan and Chris. He shares his testimony, and at the end, his last two lines are, I want to reintroduce myself. I am Wesley, a sinner saved by grace and a child of God. Do you understand what he did? He took all the stuff that he built himself up in and said, it doesn't matter, because first I'm a child of God. I remember reading, I started to almost tear up a little bit, because Wesley reminded me that when you accept Jesus, you are a brand new creation. So when you introduce yourself to people, is the first thing out of your mouth, I'm a child of God. I love Jesus. Or is it, I have this job. I'm a proud mom. I'm a proud dad. Paul makes it clear, the first thing we are is a child of God. So, I want to talk a little bit about reconciliation. See, reconciliation is God's work. There's nothing to do with us. I said earlier, but I want to be very clear if you're taking notes, no amount of good deeds will ever get you into heaven. You can be the most perfect person here on earth, and you're still going to mess up, and you won't make it into heaven. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you, Stephen, will get to sit at the right hand of the Father. Because of the sacrifice that God made, you, Genesis, will be at the right hand of the Father. See, God reconciled our debt. And he reconciled it himself, because he knew we couldn't do it. It led me to a very real place of, are we reconciling with others? Let's be honest, church family. There are people we really love to see on a Sunday morning, give them a big hug. Then there are people we see on a Sunday morning and it's, give them the little head nod. Good to see you. Little not as close. Let's be honest. There's a lot of us that gossip. There are a lot of us that don't love each other the way we should. How are we going to grow as a church family? How is God going to bless us with new souls to care for if we can't care for the people that are already in this building? We're praying, God, let us grow. We have a new building. Let us grow. God, we're ready. We're prepared. But you haven't spoken to that brother or sister in years, and you see them every Sunday. How is he going to bless us with caring for new believers when we can't love one another the way we should? Many people view that moment at the cross as a moment of sacrificial love, but it was an angry father and a son pleading. But we see in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, when this was prophesied, that the Father and the Son were united in love because they loved us. We're going to talk a little bit about an ambassador. Those of you who are not, I'm going to say under 70, you might not know the term influencer very well. But if someone has a large social media following, we call them influencers. And if you're an influencer, sometimes you get to become a brand ambassador. We have them for companies like Lululemon. where they pay athletes and people with large followings to wear their clothes and then post the selfie in the clothes and you tag the brand and it grows. We are called to be ambassadors for God. When I think about an ambassador for the Lord, I always think about my mom. When I was 5, we were in kindergarten, it was summer vacation, and my best friend Matthew went on a cruise. And I was so jealous that he went on a cruise. I told my mom I really wanted to go on a cruise. We didn't have the money for a cruise. She took me on a trip to Center Island. And I was so excited because I got to be on the big boat. And the big boat meant a lot to me because I was on a cruise just like Matthew, at least in my mind. Now, we really didn't have a lot, so we couldn't afford the food at Center Island, so my mom packed sandwiches and pudding cups and water. And we went on the trip, and it was really, really good. I had so much fun. I didn't get to go on a lot of rides, but I got to be on the big boat. I remember when I came off the big boat coming back from the island. There were people who were unhoused, who were hungry. And I remember the smell of the water. And we had sandwiches left. And I said, "Mom, can we give our sandwiches to those people that are hungry?" Now, I didn't know that we didn't have a lot of food at home. But she didn't hesitate. She said, "Of course, we can. That's what Christians do." So I remember going out, giving away the sandwiches, giving away the water, gave everything out down to my last pudding cup. But see, I didn't understand what I was doing. And I realized I wasn't understanding the gospel. I was imitating what my mom had always done. Because she was an ambassador for Jesus. She showed me that when there was someone in need, even if you didn't have a lot, you cared for them. I realized, looking back, I don't know if I was going to tell this story to make sure she was okay with it, that it was whenever we were out in public, if there was someone in need, my mom would always try to give them food. She would always try to care for them. And I asked her why she did that if she knew we didn't always have enough to eat at home. And she told me it was because God will always provide if you commit your life to living for Him. My mom is who I think of when I think of an ambassador for Jesus. She's still the same lady. She just made food for her local church food bank last week. Church family, you are all ambassadors for Christ. Every single one of you. When you go out in the world, you are representing Jesus. You're not doing a big social media campaign. You might not have a lot of followers, but you can share the love of God through your action. You can share the love of God through a hello. You can share the love of God through a connection. You can share the love of God by praying for those who are in need. I know that we don't all have a lot of resources to share. But that doesn't mean we can't be kind. That doesn't mean we can't show love. It doesn't mean we are not ambassadors for the Lord. Wherever you are, you represent Jesus. So I want you to think about that when you go through your life. When you're in traffic and you're mad at people, are you representing Jesus? When you're at work and that one person emails you and it's passive aggressive, are you going to represent Jesus? When you're walking down the street and you see people that are hungry, are you going to represent Jesus? When you're angry and hurt, are you going to represent Jesus? When you see someone who wronged you, are you going to represent Jesus? Will you be an ambassador for Christ? See, being an ambassador is not about pleasing you. Trust me, I want to please me, but I have to please him first. He is the foundation of my life. So there are times, I'll be honest, traffic was bad today. Did you know they closed the 401? I was coming in from Mississauga, and they closed the 401, and I was stuck in traffic, and I was like, on a Sunday? But I had to hold my patience. I couldn't yell at people. We were all in the same boat. There are times where you're going to be challenged, where you're going to have a bad day. But you have to represent Christ faithfully wherever you are and whatever you do. Speaking about my mom, there's a time a few years ago where she had to get screened for cancer. And I was so mad at God that day. Because I was like, God, this woman served you day in, day out, did everything right, raised a godly family, went through so much struggle, and you're going to give her this. You know what she told me? She said, everything's going to be okay because God's going to take care of me. And in the absolute worst case scenario, I know you'll be okay because I raised you the right way. And she said, if I get called home, my life was a testimony to how much he loved me. My mom didn't wind up having cancer. Praise the Lord. But I remember that moment vividly, that when she should have been terrified, when she had every right to be angry, when I was angry, she was calm. Because she knew what Jesus had promised. Jesus had promised a great exchange. Because Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned by commission. Jesus never sinned by omission. Jesus was treated as guilty as he was in our place. And we can never earn heaven because it's already been paid. A pastor shared a great metaphor about this. He talked about a judge whose son had taken out his car. And the son was caught speeding. And the son got taken in to the courtroom to his own dad. And the son didn't really have an argument. And the judge banged his gavel, said, "You're guilty." Then he got off the bench, went to his wallet, wrote a check, and covered the entire fine. That's what Jesus did for us. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We all deserve hell, but we will never see it because it's already been paid. Because Jesus, he without sin, died for me, and he died for you. So I want to ask you, as you go throughout this week, what's motivating your ministry life? What's motivating your life in general? Is it being an ambassador for God? Is it sharing his love everywhere you can possibly be? Or is it something else? Is it money? Is it fame? Shoot, it might even just be you want to see, you just want to binge some Netflix. Do you know how sad it is, church family, that people have this amazing God that gave everything for them, and they would rather watch a show and they just click next episode, next episode, next episode, instead of spending time saying, thank you, God, for what you've done for me? So what is your life going to look like? When people see Carrie, they're going to say, that's a woman of God. When people see John, they're going to say, that's a man of God. When people see Robert, they're going to say, that's a man of God. Are you going to be representing Jesus fully? I want you to think about who you need to see differently this week. There's people in your life that you don't get along with. But you know what you are? A child of God. I want you to say it. I'm a child of God. Say it with conviction. I'm a child of God. So are they. Oh, you don't need to say that part, but I love it. So are they. And because of that, who are you to hold them in judgment? You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the journey God put them on. But you should be seeing them differently. I also want you to think about this. Who needs reconciliation from you? And who do you need to reconcile with? Because it goes both ways. Church family, you can forgive people without ever having the conversation. I know many of you harbor guilt from a lost relationship where maybe the person's passed away. Or maybe you don't get to see them or you don't have their contact information. But you can forgive them fully, just as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you. So I want to ask you, are you living as a new creation? Are you clinging to the old one? When you work, are you living as a new creation? When you're alone and no one's watching, are you living as a new creation? When life is hard and someone you care about or you is waiting for a diagnosis, are you still living as a new creation? Are you ready to live for God? I want you to say this with me. I'm going to say you are. I want you guys to say the word. You are? Let's try that one more time. I want more conviction, guys, more excitement. We're a Baptist church. We can be loud. You are. You are. You are. You are sent by Jesus to do his work in every area of your life. Amen?
Amen.
So what are we going to do this week? We're going to be ambassadors for God. We are going to show his love to the entire world. And every person we interact with, they're going to say, wow, that person really loves Jesus. And if we all do that, church family, Satan's not going to be able to stop the growth that we have. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up this time to you, God. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you paid for each and every one of us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the renewal of our hearts and our minds, Lord. We're reminded that as we go into the world, we represent you, that we are your church, that we are your people. Church God, I'm asking you to just guide this church family, care for this church family, put an excitement in them, light a fire under them to represent you in everything that they do, to share love, to be free of judgment. Lord, we need you. We are lost. We are broken. This world doesn't make sense. There are wars going on. So, Lord, let us be a light to those in need. Let us be a light to those who are hurting. Lord, let us represent you. As you've given us the Holy Spirit, we know that we cannot do it alone. But by the gift of your Holy Spirit, we will be able to lift you up. We'll be able to lift up your people. And we know, God, that you can change the world through broken people like us. In your name we pray. Amen.